of all that you hear, this is what we want to try to get across to you. That in the original fall of man, when man fell from God's grace, when he made the decision to leave the sanctuary of God and to create his own kingdom, that God, in his kindness to man, released everything that man wanted. The spiritual forces that God unleashed because of man desired them devastated the world. It absolutely devastated the world. And as you go through and read, particularly in the book of Revelation, it talks about when these spiritual forces were turned loose, the world was shaken like in no other time. I do not believe that this world was created to have earthquakes. I do not believe that the world was created to have unbearable situations for man to exist. And that's just my own personal belief. I believe that what God created for us was a real paradise. It was just something that we don't really know. But when these physical forces, these spiritual forces were released, it had a physical effect on the world. We've got earthquakes, we have famines, we have pestilence, we have death, we have problems on top of problems. And Revelation says that is tribulation. Folks, tribulation is not coming. You've got to know that you're already in tribulation. You're in serious tribulation. Some tribulation is so serious that men cannot stand it and they die. They commit suicide. Tribulation is so severe that people lose their minds. Just lose it. We are not entering into a great tribulation period. We are in a great tribulation period. We are in tribulation. But because of God's mercy and His grace, His love, His compassion, He came into the world and extended to those that would accept Him, extended to them an opportunity to go back into the peace, the joy, the righteousness, the health, the all of the things, eternal life, all of the things that was taken away, God has opened the door for us to go back into those areas. The Lord Jesus, when He came and went to the cross, He destroyed the works of the devil. They have been destroyed for those that would walk in His footsteps. The works have been destroyed for those that would commit themselves to live the way He lived. For those that would accept His ways, His mind, His attitude, His spirit, His words, God said that we would live in paradise. Our minds could be at peace. And the world would be absolutely in chaos. And it wouldn't bother us at all. Isn't that wonderful? But now there's certain things that you have to do to get into that. And the church teaches us that the Sermon on the Mount are the demands that allows us to enter into the reality. Now I know that the Sermon on the Mount is the high call. And most people kind of get upset at me because I'm always pointing to the ultimate call. I'm going to tell you wonderful people something. If you're not shooting for the ultimate, you're going to miss the whole thing. Now, you may never reach the full impact of what it is to be in the total glory of God, in the agape, in the mind and in the heart. But if you're not shooting for it, you'll never make it. We must shoot for the ultimate goal, to love your enemy. That's the thing that we must work at. And my dear brothers and sisters, it's something that you'll work on through this whole life and never get it down just right. You work on it and you'll struggle in it and you'll say, oh God, I just failed again and I failed and I failed again. He said, that's okay, I'm going to give you another shot at it. Here comes another enemy. God. And you go through it over and over. And listen, when you think you get good at it, He'll send you a winger by. I mean, He'll send somebody by that'll just ding you. When you think you've really gotten good at this thing, somebody will come along and whip every bit of the wind right out of your sail. And what you will begin to realize is that you can never get good enough at it. But if you persist in trying and doing it, we know trying is lying. But if we will persist, if we will operate in it, there'll be a peace in here. I don't know how to tell you about that peace. It's something that you don't describe. It is something that allows all of your systems inside here to work and function properly. Your heart is designed to work under the anointing of God. All your mechanisms inside are designed by God, so they've got to work in the peace of God. So when you begin to, at loving your enemy, doing good to those that hate you, those are areas of the Spirit that transforms our mind and allows us to enter into the reality of God. That's the attitude of God. Y'all understand that? We must enter in and begin to shoot for the ultimate goal. His name is Jesus. That's our journey. As many times as you fall, we have a mediator that stands before God. His name is Jesus. And He is constantly declaring us, you are not guilty. I have paid the price. Don't stop. Keep coming. Don't stop. I love you. I paid the price for you. I have bought you. You belong to me. Keep coming. How do I keep coming, Lord? Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. And what that will produce in you is this. Listen to what love is. Now, I know this is really hard for us because you've already learned this week that your mind is insane. You're unstable. We're a basket case. We're rude. We're arrogant. We don't want nobody fooling with us. I've got my own space. I'm able to take care of my own life. And I really don't need nothing from you. I've worked and I've done it myself. But folks, I want to tell you, you got to have a need for God. That's the reason that the poor have no problem with Him. They need Him. We have worked ourselves into a position where we really don't need Him. In this ministry, you may not believe this, but I get to the point, there's been times that I would get to the point, things were running so smooth, I didn't even think about Him. Boy, is this thing slick? Praise you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, it would just run into a big wall. Pow! And I said, oh, God! He said, well, welcome back. Where you been? Is that you, Charlie? Yes! I'm in trouble again. He said, well, if it weren't for the trouble, you would never look toward God. Thank God for trouble. Thank God for all of the things that He has set up to keep me honed in on Him. Amen. I had a lady come up to me and she says, oh, that was such a beautiful thing last night. It was so wonderful. I mean, I was resting in the Spirit. I was having a wonderful, intimate relationship with Jesus. And some dingbat came up and started rubbing me in the face. I said, did it make you mad? She said, I was furious. I don't want nobody in my space. I said, you hadn't heard a thing we said here this week. About the time you get all comfortable in this all oochie-goochie, oh, isn't this wonderful? All of a sudden, God will say, wham, and check you out to see where you are spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen to where we should always determine where we are spiritually. And if you want to look in your scriptures, leave your Bibles alone. I'm just going to read it to you. Listen to this. God is a God of love, and anyone that lives in love lives in God, and God lives in Him. So God is a God of love. This love is a sacrifice. Love is a commitment. This love produces certain fruits. And if these fruits are not operating in your life, and you will always be challenged in these areas so you can test yourself to see where your fruits are. Remember that a grapefruit tree will not produce oranges. Patience will never produce impatience. You understand what I'm saying? Rudeness can never replace kindness. So now, love is always patient. If you got somebody rubbing you in the face, it's okay. Now, folks, all you got to do, now, I'm telling, because see, these are real acts, these are real things that are going on right here. And every one of you have been rubbed this week one way or another. I'm just happening to pick out this one case. I mean, you've had problems. We've had people try to get away from here this week, get in their car and just start beating their donkey out of here. And whipped him so hard, they never got out of the city limits. The car breaks down. They spend all day trying to get it fixed, wind up, they ain't got enough money to get home, so they got to come back. I mean, listen, you can't imagine all the things that go on here. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Love is always patient. Patient. Let's all say patient. Now, if your patience needs to be tried and tested, God will send somebody along to let you check out to see how patient you are. You may not be very patient at all. But then you can say, oh God, I'm not very patient today. And I didn't do too good on that wonderful sister. Would you send somebody else by and let me try it again? Amen. And you may fail that one. You may go through 100 before you get the first one right. But when you get it right, then it becomes revelation. You say, oh, that's how you do it. Then he'll send a whole bunch by real quick. Bam, 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 bam. You'll say, ha, 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 I can get through this thing now. And all of a sudden, he'll send somebody by and he'll crack you. Oh, wait a minute. Then you got to be kind. They will steal your tapes out of your house. They'll rip you off. Folks, I'm convinced God put us here in this community so it would be an opportunity for you all to check yourself out to see where you are spiritually. Amen.
Amen.
Love is always what? Kind. It's always kind. Now, do I have to practice that? You betcha. Do I ever fail in it? All the time. I found myself this morning, I haven't been very kind to my wife. Just something that I haven't done this morning. She's been trying to get me, I need to talk to you. Can't you see I'm busy? I'm talking to this. And by the time I get through with this person, I got another person. Mama, wait a minute. You got me all the time. Wait a minute. I'll see you tonight in the bed. Cool it. I haven't been kind to her at all. Now, do you think God will give me another opportunity with her? Yeah. He will. And she'll be patient and kind to me until I can get back into the reality of what I was supposed to be. That's the way we work. She doesn't go around and think, well, I'll leave that sucker. He's insulted me for the last time. I mean, that's all I've had all my life is one insult right after another, and I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm out of here. She didn't do that, thank God. She's put up with me. Amen. And I got to put up with her too. Because she gave me a little shot yesterday. Below the belt. So I figured, you know, to retaliate. Does love ever retaliate? Uh-huh. It shouldn't. Listen to this. Love is never jealous. Love is never jealous. Love is what?
Never.
Never. Now what we're doing, we're describing God. God is patient. God is kind. God is never jealous. Now listen to this. He is never boastful or conceited. Never. It says that love is never rude or selfish. Have we got a lot to work on? And folks, you'll be working on it till the day you die, and 20 minutes after you're dead, that sucker will still be hanging around, flinching and kicking. I mean, we are tied to something that if we could ever really see the true nature of it, I mean, we'd start crying out, Lord Jesus, come quickly and deliver me from this thing. Deliver me. Amen. Amen. Love is never rude or selfish. You're going to get checked out this week to see how selfish you are. You are. You're already thinking about it, aren't you? And folks, you know, I'm going to tell you, the work that God's called us to do, I don't know how he's going to do it. It's going to be exciting to see him unfold it. But I do know this. I do know that he always works through people. Always. He always. He came through a person. He ministered to people and he left his church in charge. He left the church in charge of people. The people in charge of the church. Didn't he? I mean, and he knew we couldn't screw it up. Because he said, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. You'll never mess it up. And we tried. I'm going to tell you what, folks. One of the great excitements that I have today is that to see an institution 2,000 years old, that I'm going to tell you, if there was any way man could destroy it, it would have been destroyed right off the bat. But it's still here, and it still exists, and I am totally convinced that the kingdom of hell will never prevail against it. If we haven't destroyed it up to now, you ain't going to destroy this church. You can talk about it, you can criticize it, you can put it down. I mean, do all those things, it's going to exist. I am convinced that when Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, he sent his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the church. It is going to keep it, and it's going to keep it just the way it is. Now, people can make up their mind whether they're going to get in or out, or whether they're going to operate in his spirit or in the world's spirit. That's the free will that we have. Love is never selfish. Now, here's the big one for you. The wonderful lady that was having her face. See, y'all going to be careful now when you talk to me, aren't you? You don't tell me everything because I confess it. The only thing is I don't use no names. I use them as illustrations. This wonderful lady that's laying there being tormented as she's trying to have this wonderful relationship with God, she took offense. It said, love is never offended. Now, listen, I know that's hard. But now listen to this. And this is the illustration I used her. I said, what if you were laying there totally dead? You wouldn't have cared what they'd done to you. They could even open you up and take your insides out and it'd been all right. You understand? A dead person, I mean, folks, nothing bothers them, right? And if you're dead, and isn't that what say we must be crucified? Crucified. In other words, I'm dead. But I just get resurrected every 2 or 3 minutes, you know. I'm always letting my flesh be resurrected. Love never takes offense. It's not offended. You can call it names. You can spit on it. You can whip it. You can nail it to the tree. It's not offended. Not offended. You can mess with it. It's not offended. It doesn't take offense. Let me tell you something about that. If you will work on that, what you will discover is that anger will leave your mind. All of you that are bothered with anger, I mean, I don't care what goes, you get angry about it. Don't he know what he's doing? She shouldn't be doing that. I mean, boom, 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 boom. If you will work on not being offended by nothing, work on it. Practice it. Anger will leave. One of the great joys that I have today, particularly in my home with my family, none of my family members make me angry, except my wife. And she doesn't really get me angry. She just gives me opportunities to practice my faith. Amen. Folks, you know, I'm just trying to be as honest with you because I know what kind of problems y'all are going through. Jesus tells us the members of our household are our enemies. He tells us that. So it's in my house that I should not be offended. My children should never offend me. I don't care what they do. I should never be offended. I should not take offense. Folks, this kills those spiritual horses that rode out over the world to destroy us. And their folks, they have not. Listen, they have been rendered. God has killed them, but He said they've come back to life. They were resurrected in the book of Revelation. Says they came back. They're here. And we're still in tribulation. Every generation has to go through tribulation. Now, I've got 30 minutes to finish up on this. And I want to go to something that... All I can do in Scripture is hope to edify you and encourage you to where you can begin to practice. You'll have an understanding that we've got spiritual forces working inside of us. And they're working on our conscious and our subconscious. And we do things not even thinking about it. So we need to begin to practice changing our mind, even our subconscious mind. We begin to lay a foundation in our subconscious so that when things happen, we can act in the wonderful power of the Lord Jesus instead of reacting to the dictates of the subconscious that's been fixed for the world. If you practice your faith, I am not going to take offense. I'm not going to be offended. The people that pull out in front of me with their car on the interstate, I'm not going to be offended. The guy that sits through the stoplight and it just sits there and is green and he knows that I'm in a hurry back here because I want to go listen to Charlie Osborne preach. I got to go get spiritual. And the guy, I mean, he just sits, look at him. He's reading the newspaper. Now, listen, if you would take and look at that car and the brother driving it or the sister, and you would see in faith that they're a unique, one of a kind, an original masterpiece of God. It's Jesus Himself sitting there reading the paper. You'd never honk at Him and flip Him to bird when you go by. Would you? You wouldn't be offended, would you? Hello? Are y'all still with me? Do you all have any idea what the 666 is? Somebody tell me what a 666 is. Now we know what a 7 is. Tell me what a 6 is. Incomplete. Oh, you mean to tell me that 666 is a person that's been incomplete in Christ? Not complete. If you're not complete in Christ, what are you? You're against Him. If you're giving Him the bird, you're rude, you're selfish, you're arrogant, you're raping and killing and just angry at everybody. Folks, that's an antichrist spirit. Don't think it's coming to the world. It's been here. These preachers are preaching the antichrist spirit is coming. Bohunk. That's deception. If we don't know He's already here, how are we ever going to get... Folks, we need another Redeemer. We need another Savior. He is here. Antichrist spirit's here. And that sucker governed my life for most of it and still has an influence on it occasionally. Amen. But I'm quick to recover because now I know what truth is. I know a little of truth. I know a little bit about truth. I know a little bit about faith. I know a little bit about love. Just a little bit. So I know how to correct the antichrist spirit that works in me. These guys that are preaching that the antichrist spirit is coming and they're trying to say he's been born over here and he's coming out of England. Folks, all they do is create fear. And you're going to send them money and they'll get rid of him. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Love is not resentful. Love is not resentful. Let's all say that.
Love is not resentful.
Have we got something to practice on? I mean, you resent everything. You resent your dad. You resent your mama. You resent your husband. You resent the church. I mean, it's just like, I resent this. I resent that. I mean, we resent the bishop. We resent the priest. I mean, we're just resent. Folks, start practicing. Love is always patient. We're not here to judge and to condemn. We're here to serve. And as we serve in love, the power of God, it allows a person to be transformed. I got to just share this about my son-in-law. Everybody's got son-in-laws. My daughter came up to me 5 years ago and she said, Dad, I met the guy I want to marry. But I've lived with you since you've been in the Spirit. I know this guy is a mess. See, my daughter was able to determine between the way I was acting and he was acting, he didn't know nothing about God at all. He was a heathen. And here's what she said to me. She said, I still want to marry him because Daddy's wonderful. He's just a mess. Y'all know how that is? She was looking at him through eyes of love. And she said, I know that I would never be able to love him by myself. I'm going to need some help loving this guy. Would you let him and I live in your house so you could help me love him? Now, you think that ain't smart? That little girl knew. She said, Daddy, you could help me love him. And I know if you're loving him, I know he'll be all right. I said, bring him on. Now, here's what I knew about the guy. I'd never seen him. I knew that he was a unique, one of a kind, an original masterpiece of God. I knew that there was nobody else on earth like him. And I knew that when he walked into my house, he was going to give me choice opportunities to practice my faith. That's what I knew. Amen. God was going to let me get checked out in my patience, in my kindness, whether I was offended or not, whether I was rude or selfish, whether I was resentful. He was going to let me. Folks, if we don't have these opportunities, how would you ever know? You've got to get your faith checked out. Amen. God wants you to know how you're succeeding. And so he came, and the guy, he had created such a reputation for himself, he couldn't hold a job. Nobody would hire him.